God, how long do I have to cry out for help before you listen? How many times do I have to yell, help, murder, police, before you come to the rescue? Why do you force me to look at evil, stare trouble in the face day after day? Anarchy and violence break out. Quarrels and fights are all over the place. Law and order fall to pieces. Justice is a joke. The wicked have the righteous hamstrung and stand justice on its head. God, you're from eternity, aren't you? Holy God, we aren't going to die, are we? God, you chose Babylonians for your judgment work? Rock solid God, you gave them the job of discipline? You can't be serious. You can't condone evil. So why don't you do something about this? Why are you silent now? This outrage, evil men swallow up the righteous and you stand around and you watch. The prophet Habakkuk had some big emotions, didn't he? Some big feelings. And who knows how we read this in Habakkuk 1. I don't know if it's out of anger that he's saying that, or if it's out of despair, or if it's out of just desperation, or perhaps Habakkuk was just done. He was just done. Spent. That's it. Battery's gone. Have you guys been there before? I was there just last week. I had nothing left. It's been a tough go a little bit for us as a family. We've had a lot going on. There's been a lot of energy that's been being expent. You know, we've had just a lot of gamut of health issues and emotional decisions and family things. It's just kind of big. And then on the cherry on top of all that, my 2.5-year-old broke his femur. So that happened. He's got this big cast. I'm carrying him around everywhere. And so I was just tired. I was spent. But that's not what it was that did me in. No, what did me in was I was sitting there, and it was Friday last week, and I just remember being heartbroken for my son, my oldest. He's an extremely smart and gifted boy. But he was really struggling with online learning. And it was hard because, didn't expect this, it's hard because he goes to a great school and he's got great teachers. But he's really struggling and he was told by the class that he was kind of slowing the class down. And I watched him. Sorry. I watched him kind of get into this cloud of negative self-thinking and anxiety. And that was it. It's just hard. I didn't want to see that because I know how smart he is. I know how bright he is. And so all of this, all the emotions and things of COVID and quarantine and distance learning, and I just kind of got to that place and I was done. So last Friday afternoon, I was an emotional mess. I mean, I was a heap of emotions, kind of a little bit like I'm happening right now, right? A lot of sadness and anger and frustration that was there in that moment, and I was just done. And so I remember, and guys and ladies, I need you to know that even if your man doesn't show it, we got a lot of emotions. We may bottle them up, and then this happens, right? So that night, as my wife had a hard and long day at work, and so she was passed out on the couch, and at 11 o'clock at night, I just went to my backyard, and I got on my grass, and I just hit my knees, and I just began to pray. I began to just pray to the Lord and confess that I was done. I was spent. And in that moment, I so desperately, I just wanted heaven. I felt out of place in this world. I was so done with this worldly sinful world that I'm not supposed to live in, and I wanted to be in the kingdom. I so desperately wanted to be there, and I was confessing that to the Lord. And so I sat there crying, emotional. But this message, this word that God's told me to tell you today, it's not about that. This message that I'm supposed to teach you today by the command of the Holy Spirit, it's not about that. It's about what happened next. It's about what happened next. So I asked you earlier, have you been where I was? Have you been there? Have you been in that place? And I can say probably almost everybody has in this room. But even if none of you had, and I was kind of alone in this room, and I was the only one that had gotten to that place, I'm validated by the words of the Lord. As I look at the prophet Habakkuk, and he confesses, and he yells, and he's upset. As I look at Elijah, as he's running away from Jezebel, and he feels all alone. As I look at Job, I see I'm not the only one. As I look at Jesus, who got frustrated with his disciples who weren't getting it, and as he flipped over tables and the money lenders because he was upset, and as he anguished in the Garden of Gethsemane, no, I'm not the only one. God's word validates what I was feeling. God's word validates that this is okay where I was. And over the last 4 weeks, we have been in this journey to discover what faith is and what it means for our life. And it's been powerful. We've been learning from great teachers and great messages. And then last week, Greg gave us an incredible challenge and motivated us to get into the game, to get serving, showing that faith is expressed through action. And he called us, like I said, he called us to serve. But then let me pick that up from where he left off. You've gotten in the game. You're going. You're faithfully serving because God prompted you to do that. But what do you do when it's third or fourth quarter of the game? When you're tired. Hey there. When you're tired. And you're done. You don't know what to do. You're a little lost. You've reached that point that kind of I was, that we've all been there. What do you do in that moment when you don't want to act, when doubt and despair and depression and discontentment rear their ugly head? Where does faith come in that moment? You see, these are the pivotal moments of faith. These are the pivotal moments of growth and maturation in the Holy Spirit. As a follower of Jesus, these moments are the moments that really we get to see the substance of our faith. And so they're important. And so as we're closing out the faith series today, I want to kind of give you some marching orders to how to grow in faith the rest of your life. How to kind of to continue and grow in Jesus. And I will tell you that if you take what I'm going to tell you today and you actually apply it to your life, you will never stop growing in faith. You'll never stop growing. And yes, we're going to talk about feelings today a little bit, because that's an important thing for us to address because we all have them. I love the quote that says, feelings are like waves. They keep coming, but you just can choose which ones you want to surf, right? I'm a surfer, so that makes sense for me. But feelings will continue to come. Feelings will continue to be a part of your life, and they're not bad. Feelings are part of kind of the God-created existence that we have. We're made in the image of God, and so feelings are actually an expression of that. A life without feelings is like, like plain oatmeal. Gross, right? It's like plain oatmeal. So feelings kind of give this life and vibrancy. But we have to know that we cannot trust our feelings as the guide. We cannot allow feelings to be the thing that kind of take us to where we want to go. Because ultimately, they're untrustworthy. So we got to know that when our feelings fail us, it's our faith that fulfills us. When our feelings fail us, because they will fail us, faith will never fail us. Listen to what God's word says. We're going to be looking at this verse actually twice today, but I want to kind of open us up because we're going to be in this passage a lot today. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. It says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in this world caused by evil desires. This is going to be our key passage for today. And you could see that through the precious promises, we can participate in the divine nature. Through God's promises that He's given us, we can experience the life that God wants for us. Every person here that is a follower of Jesus, you can find growth and maturity in your faith if you let go of the feelings that lead you to sin and take hold of the precious promises of God that lead to righteousness. That's it. 2 points today. Not complex. This is a meat and potatoes kind of message. But it's so foundational. We need to get this. If you want to grow, if you want to continue in faith, you have to understand this. If you can't understand this and you just continue to let feelings kind of take you where they want you to go, you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle in this life of faith. So take this and listen to this, because this is a message that, as I said, if you apply it to your life, it will change your life. Let me pray, and we're going to kind of get into the scriptures. We're going to be talking about, again, feelings, and we're going to be talking about promises of God. So let me pray as we step into it. God, wow, it's already been a ride. God, you are doing something amazing here, God. And as Kenny prayed, you're doing something amazing in our nation. You're doing something amazing in our church. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be strong within us, God, that your Holy Spirit would be pouring out of us, God. I pray we'd be hungry for your kingdom and hungry for your word today, God. I pray that you would speak through this message. Help me to get out of my own way and let you speak today. We love you. We ask for your will to be done and your kingdom come. Amen. So we're going to go to a passage of scripture that is probably familiar for you because we've been going through it over the last couple weeks. But again, it's kind of our foundational message that we have for the faith study. And it's actually in Romans 4, and we're going to be going from verses 18 through 24. Romans 4, 18 through 24, and it says this, "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and became the father of many nations. Just as it has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words 'it was credited to him' were written not only for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead." So how do I illustrate this? How do I kind of talk about this? And I was thinking about this, and so Michael, what's up, man? So say that I was up here, right, and I got really nervous. Like, I got so nervous that I'm just, like, sweating. Like, I'm sweating through my shirt. It's just gross. And I'm like, "Michael, I need you to go get me a shirt for second service, because, like, I need a shirt for second service." And I just gave you my address, and you're like, "Oh, yeah, no problem," and you, like, take off. But in the middle of that, your GPS on your phone or your car, it goes out. It's done. And all you have is my address. Now, you're going to struggle to get to my house, aren't you? Yeah, you're going to be a little stuck. That is totally normal. Because when I first learned to drive, like a lot of us when we first learned to drive, you actually had to know how to get places. But now we don't need that because we trust our GPS. Our GPS just tells, turn right, turn left, you know, and go this way. And we follow that GPS, and we go this different direction. So you would probably struggle getting to my house. And unfortunately, I think that's a lot of the way that we live our lives. We live our lives that way, kind of just letting the GPS of our emotions just turn us where we want to go. I feel this way, so I'm going to turn this way. I feel this way, so I'm going to go this way. And we just kind of have really kind of no control. We're just kind of hearing our emotions and following them. That guy just flipped me off. I'm angry. I'm going to punch him in the face. Right? I feel lonely, so I'm gonna go to my web browser. Oh my gosh, I'm appalled by what she posted. I'm gonna text my friend about it. I don't really like my job. My job sucks, and you know I don't really like it. So I'm gonna take a long lunch, maybe at the bar. See, we let these emotions come, and we just kind of turn that direction. And can I ask you guys another question? This is a question for all of us, not just for Michael. The question for all of us, how many of you here, at some point, your GPS got you lost? It's everybody. I mean, it's not all the time, but eventually your GPS gets you lost, right? Recalculating. You're like, I need to know now. But if I went back to you, Michael, and I said, and I gave you actually a turn-by-turn directions to my house, and I actually gave you the information on how to recognize what my house looks like, you probably get to my house, right? Definitely, right? That's because I have a greater knowledge of the proper directions. Directions, turn-by-turn directions from a knowledgeable source is always better than GPS. You have that because they know what it looks like. They know all the intricacies of the streets and what it looks like. So let's go back to Abraham. We read Romans 4, right? Let's go back to Abraham. And he says, he gets to this place where he hits a fork in the road. And I think we have a picture of that. So we're going to hit a fork in the road. And he really feels, based off his emotions, he feels like, man, I need to turn here. But God says, through his promise, continue going straight. And if Abraham actually listened to his emotions in that time, if he listened to his feelings, I guarantee you, we wouldn't be talking about him right now. You wouldn't know who he is. He wouldn't be the father of faith. If he gave vent to his emotions, then he wouldn't be this great hero that we all know about, that we're studying about. And I love what it says in verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 20. And it says, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. This word waver, right, is the word diakrino. And it means to be split in judgment, to actually have two different parts. And so when it says that it did not waver, it says he was not split. He was not divided. And so what's interesting is don't we love somebody who's unwavering? That's not wishy-washy back and forth. They are who they are. They are who they say they are, and they're going to do what they're going to do, what they say they're going to do. We love that. And so God's word says he did not waver. He was not split. And why was he not split? Well, he was not split because he decided beforehand how he was going to follow. There takes some preemptive decisions that we need to take before kind of those emotional moments hit. We need to decide beforehand to follow God's promises. We need to decide beforehand that we're going to trust God more than ourselves. And that is why he was unwavering. He had already set his resolve. He let go of the feelings that would have led him to sin and rebellion and led him away from God. And thus, he sets this formula for growth for us to see. This is the key formula that we need to understand from this passage. And look what it says in the rest of verse 20. It says, he's not waving the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Because he did not waver, because he was already in his place, it says that he was strengthened in his faith.
Well, who strengthened him? God strengthened him. The Holy Spirit strengthened him because he had made that decision beforehand, because he had already set his resolve. In that moment when he did not waver, the Lord strengthened his faith and gave glory to God. See, when we resist the inclinations of our own feelings and we look to God, we can see that God comes alongside of us. God comes and wants to help our faith and strengthen our faith. But it takes that decision beforehand. You see, we have to let go of the feelings that lead us to sin, that lead us away from God. And we also can see, right, that testings of our faith strengthen our faith and grow our faith. We can know that from James 1. But it only can strengthen our faith if we are properly equipped and properly prepared for those moments. So you say, Jordan, well, how do you do that? I'm so glad you asked. Let me tell you. Let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1. It says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Now, most of you here, just because of a story that happened last year, you guys know that I like to climb. I enjoy climbing. Don't so much enjoy falling, but I enjoy climbing. And one of the ways that that we climb is something called top roping. And in top roping, just a simple explanation, you got a person that is belaying somebody, and then you have somebody who's a climber. They each wear a harness. The belay person puts it in here, and rope goes up to the wall, comes back down, goes to the climber. Climber climbs up, and you know, just in case he falls, person can be on belay. He won't fall. So that's one way of climbing. And so what we have to understand is that in climbing, we've roped in with Jesus. We are on belay with Jesus. And he invites us, climb on. Climb on. And so we begin to climb. And when we are first invited to climb, to this climb of faith, we're excited and we're invigorated and it's great, it's awesome, it's so just full of life. But there comes moments where you may get to a place where the wall looks something like this. And you go, I don't know where to go. And so you kind of sit in this place and you feel like I'm stuck. I'm confused, there's nowhere to go, there's nowhere to grab. You get kind of nervous, you're like, I want down, get me down. I don't know what to do, I don't know where to go. But Jesus has invited you to climb on, climb heavenward. And so what do you do when you're in this place of like, I don't know where to go, I don't know what to do? God's word. Doesn't it say that we have everything we need for life and godliness? And that he's given us the greatest promises to participate in the divine nature. And so, the good news is that we have everything we need. We have everything we need for life and godliness. And so you kind of like look around here, you're going in, got something here. We got everything we need for life and godliness. And you think to yourself, okay, now what do I do with this? Because God's word is so awesome. It says that there's 30,000 promises of God in this book. But you can't just, they don't just get absorbed by you by osmosis. I can't just like press this book to my head. Do I have it? No, it doesn't work that way. You have to make choices to implant these things in your life. And so you go, and all of a sudden you're in this place, and you want to drive it into your life. So, we have it here. All right, it's in my life. That's great. This looks good. Keep driving. Keep pushing it in, because guess what? If you haven't fully committed to that promise, you're not going to trust it. You're not going to trust it. No, you need to take that promise and you need to continue to drive that in your life. What does that mean to drive that in your life? Saying it back to yourself, saying it to others. That means putting it on your windshield. Not on the windshield, maybe not on the dash. Putting it on your mirror. Drive into your life, apply it, think about it. Do what it needs to take to continue to push that, because then you can trust it. And then suddenly, remember the wall was empty just a second ago? Suddenly, I'm not necessarily stuck anymore. At least there's one place I can go. Things begin to look a little bit more hopeful. But my challenge to you guys is, what if you would have done that with a lot of promises of God? Suddenly now, I have a lot of places to go. I've taken the time and the energy to put God's word into my life. I've taken my time, that energy, to put God's promises into my life, and I've driven them deep so that I can trust them. And now we have places to go. Now we have hope. Now we're not going to get stuck, and we can continue climbing in Jesus. And here's what I got to tell you guys about promises, because this is really cool. So this passage that talks about the very great and precious promises, this translation for very great and precious is the Greek word magistos. And magistos is the superlative of the Greek word megas. Now, what is superlative? Well, I know that I'm in a group with Becca Jones. She's an English teacher. She would know what a superlative is, but I'm going to tell you guys what a superlative is. A superlative is relates to the degree of grammatical comparison that denotes an extreme or unsurpassed level of extent. The idea of a superlative is that it surpasses all others. Superlative speaks of the highest degree. So knowing that magistos is the superlative of the word megas, what does megas mean? Megas means great. Great. But it doesn't stop here, right? This is exciting. You guys got to know this. So it doesn't stop there. Did you know? So now it's saying these are the greatest promises. But did you know that word, magistos, is used one time in the New Testament? One time in the New Testament. So in all of the God-breathed New Testament, there's one thing that bears the title of the absolute greatest. And guess what it is? God's promises to you. Those are the greatest. Those are the absolute greatest. There is no higher degree of great. That is what he says about the promises. God's promises exceed any human promise that somebody might give you. God's promise exceeds any kind of self-help strategy that you might follow. God's promises exceeds any circumstance you might come into. God's promise exceeds any feeling or emotion that may cross your mind. God's promise exceeds all that. It is the greatest. It is the best. There is no overcoming it. God's promises are good, and when we can follow them and take hold of those promises, they will lead us to righteousness. They will lead us to where God wants us to be. And we will become, as the verse says, the offspring of Abraham, the children of faith, when we follow those promises. So how do I close this? How do I really kind of help you guys to truly grasp this as we kind of get ready to go back into the world? Well, I've been praying a lot about this because I had the content, and now I'm saying, okay, God, how do you want me to challenge these people? How do you want me to challenge your church and lead them forward? And so I've been praying about that and thinking about that. And I came upon this quote. This is a quote from a smart guy named A.W. Tozer. And it says, "Why do I insist that all Christians should search the scriptures and learn as much as they can about this God who is dealing with them? It is because their faith will only spring up naturally and joyfully as they find that our God is trustworthy and fully able to perform every promise he has made. We need today a fresh spirit of anticipation that springs out of the promises of God. We must declare war on the mood of non-expectation and come together with childlike faith. Only then can we know again the beauty and wonder of the Lord's presence among us. True faith is never found alone. It is always accompanied by expectation. The man who believes the promises of God expects to see them fulfilled. Where there is no expectation, there is no faith. We need to declare war on the mood of non-expectation. Do you believe that taking God's promises and adhering them to your life, do you believe that it's going to change your life? Do you believe that God's word will never come back void? It'll always accomplish what God wants to do in your life, as it says in Isaiah 55. Then get in your word every day, if you believe it. Do you believe that God will do anything you ask in his name so that the Father may be glorified through the Son? Do you believe that? As it says in John 14. Then be praying. Go to God in prayer. Do you believe that God is faithful and just to forgive you of all unrighteousness when you confess your sins to him? As it says in 1 John 1, 9. Then take time to repent, to offer up the places you've slipped to the Lord and he'll forgive you from all unrighteousness. Do you believe that if you acknowledge Jesus in the world, that Jesus will acknowledge you up in heaven, as it says in Matthew 10? Then proclaim your faith, share your faith. That's what God's word says. Adhere it to your life. And these are just four of the 30,000 promises in God's word. But those four will help you a lot. These are mega promises that we have. And that is why as I prayed through this message and how God would prompt me to challenge you guys moving forward as we step out of this faith series, it's a simple thing. We need to memorize God's word. We need to know God's word. We need to put them into our life. And so I'm going to give you guys, we just were in a 5-week faith series, and now I'm going to give you a 5-week memorization challenge. You guys ready for it? That means over the next 5 weeks, I want you to memorize 5 promises of God. And I'm going to help you do that. 5 promises of God. Now, these are up on the screen, so if you are online, you can take a picture of this, but for all of you that are here, I actually have something better for you. Okay? You can start this week in your memorization challenge as you start to memorize God's word and put it into your life by around, as you exit, there's out right here by these doors, and then also if you're on the patio, they're on the black tables, and if you're in the chapel, they also have it on the way out. But there's buckets, they're red, they look this color, smaller version of this, and there's a bunch of rocks in there. And all those rocks have a promise of God on it. There's a lot of them. Actually, we have 12 different promises of God written on those rocks, and so it's at random. You never know what you're going to get. That's always fun. And no, you can't like pick them and then read them and find which one's the shortest and do that. Just pick it. Trust that it's for the Lord, right? So grab a rock as you walk out. Put it in your purse, put it in your pocket, do something with it, and start this week. Memorize God's word. And the next week, come back, get a new rock. Memorize the next one. Or take a picture of this and see this. Or just you guys, I mean, they don't have to be these ones. Just memorize God's promises. When I first heard our senior pastor, J.P. Jones, preach, one of the things that was so clear and stood out to me above really anything else was his amazing knowledge of Scripture. He just knew it. He'd be reciting. He spouted off over here. Then he'd spout it off over there. I'm like, wow, guy knows the word. And it made me trust him, right? I think we can all agree on that. Like when somebody knows God's word, it makes you kind of be like, okay, he spent time in God's word, and I trust that he's giving us God's promises. And that's really, it's admirable about JP. But JP would tell you this, and I'll tell you this too. JP's just, that didn't just come naturally. He's just all of a sudden like, I know God's word now. What did he have to do? He had to choose to do that. He chooses to get in his word every single day. He chooses to find verses that mean something to him, and he puts them into his life. He drives them into his life. So guess what? Whereas that's an amazing quality he has, it's a quality that every single one of us can have here. Do you believe that? It just takes choice. I so desire and hope and pray that our church would be a church of the word. That we would be speaking it out to one another, that we'd be speaking it out to our neighbors, that we'd be speaking it out to our families, that we'd teach it to our kids, that we'd impress it on their hearts. Because we know it, it just flows out of us. And friends, again, I'm not forecasting anything, but I'm also saying there's more and more challenge against our faith in these days, right? Take God's word and hide it in a place that they can never get to. Put God's word in your life and begin to live by it. And not only will it change your life, but it'll change the lives of people around you. So wherever you're at, whether you've never opened the Bible on your own or you've memorized whole books of the Bible, let's start this week. Let's start with one. You with me, Crossline? Let's do this. So I was in my backyard. I was on my knees. And I was an emotional mess. And I was sitting there on my knees, and I was thinking, and I was confessing, and I was praying. And then I was quiet. And I took a breath. I thought of the word. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And like a record over and over again, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. And then came another one. It says, the Lord is my shield and my strength. My heart trusts in him and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy and my with my song I praise him, as it says in Psalm 28:7. So there I was in that moment. I was on my knees in my grass and God's word just washed over me because I knew it. I didn't go in looking for that. I didn't go pull that out. But the Lord, it says, as it says in God's word, it strengthened. I tried not to waver. I sat not to be a split. I tried to make that decision beforehand, and the Lord strengthened my faith in that moment. He came alongside me, and he gave me that verse, and I began to say that over and over again. The Lord will renew my strength. If I hope in him, the Lord will renew my strength. And it was amazing. I told you that it wasn't about the emotional moment. This message is not about the emotional moment that happened. It's about what happened next. So I began to say that back to me, and here's what God did. I woke up the next day, and things were noticeably different. I woke up with joy. I woke up with energy. And the first thing that we did is we do these little kind of like Bible studies with my kids in the morning, and I just noticed, like, we read God's word, and it was powerful. Like, I have boys, and they're, like, young, and they're, like, attention span is, like, you know, like, they were dialed in, and they wanted to know more. They asked more questions about it, and we had just this rich time of God's word, and I was, like, this is amazing. Then I go in, we were having donuts with our friends, and we go into this place, and as we're going to the donut shop, There was this homeless guy that's sitting there, and I look at John, and he sees the homeless man, and I look at John, and I say, "Want to go pray? Want to go talk to that guy?" John says, "Absolutely." So then John comes with me, my oldest. He comes with me, and he says, "Hi, what's your name?" He says, "My name is Jim." And Jim begins to share his story. He talks about how he was hit by a car, and actually he had lost his sight. So he couldn't see. The only thing he could tell is that there was a young man. He says, "Is this a boy? Is there a boy talking to me?" And I said, "Yeah, this is John." And I said, "John, let's pray for him." And John goes, 8 years old, the one who I was broken for the day before, and he goes and he prays, and he says, "Lord Jesus, would you give Jim sight back? I just pray, we pray that God will reveal to him. I pray for him." And he just like, whoa. Like, my son is praying, and I'm like so impacted, and I'm like, wow. And so then he prays, and he finishes, and Lord, amen. And Jim comes up, and he's crying, and he's like, "I thank you." He said, "I don't always go to God. I don't always go to God with my challenges, but son, you inspired me today that I need to be praying more." And that was like, we said bye, gave him a couple bucks, and we walked away, and it was like, whoa. Like, God, you're so good. And then, it's not over, right? So then I come home, and my neighbors are sitting kind of there, and there's neighbors I've been trying to work with for like 11 years, you know, talk to them about faith, and everything, just no breakthroughs. But then the whole family is there from all different places, and we just begin to talk. And then one of the persons just naturally says, "Hey, are you a pastor?" I said, "Yeah, I am." And then we just got into this huge conversation around faith and prayer. And I was like, I'm preaching on Sunday. You should come with me. I don't know. Maybe they're here. It's like, anyway, sorry, I'm embarrassing you. But it was just amazing. Thank you for being here if you are here. It was just amazing. I'm like, okay, there's this breakthrough of what God's doing. And so I'm telling you guys, friends, I'm not just talking about these promises. I'm not talking about these things in this kind of disjointed, ethereal way. I'm talking about practically, nuts and bolts. It works. It works. Claiming the promises of God, just watch what God's going to do. And that was only by 12 o'clock that day. And the rest of the week was just insane. God is just like, last week and this week, night and day. This morning was the first time I cried since then. No, but it just God is doing amazing things. So what I want to tell you guys is climb on, climber. Climb on. Take hold of the promises of faith, always knowing who it is that holds you. And guess what? He will never let you fall. You're roped in with him. He will not let you fall. So take hold of those holds and climb on. And move forward. When your feelings fail you, faith can fulfill you. Let me pray for you guys as we step into this final time of worship. God, as we sing this last song, "The Battle Belongs to the Lord," that was the song that I was listening to last Friday night. You spoke to me in a powerful way that night, God. And I thank you that your promises are true, that your truth will set us free. God, that we can take hold of those promises and participate in the divine nature, that the best, greatest promises of God. So help us, Lord, when things are challenging, when things are all over the place. You are a good God. We trust you with our lives. We trust you with this nation. We trust you with our families. You will not let us fall. We ask for your kingdom come and your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said,